This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 565. Just shortchanging us 300 episodes. This is Bruce Williams.
I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Is it from podcast.com. And joining me once again from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, and it's Mr. Glyn Lavender.
Yeah, yeah, I just had a thought for the first time in how many episodes, 300 episodes or so. Because I've never listened to an episode, so I don't know. But when I talk all over you on the intro deliberately, do you not put that in the intro at all? Does that all cut out?
I just mix it a little bit lower.
That's what I've been doing this for years, and he just doesn't include it. Because we have separate audio recording tracks.
That's right.
You don't have to include me.
No,
I don't. It just hit me just then.
That's right. And sometimes when you go off on complete and utter unrelated tangents for like 10 minutes of the podcast, sometimes I cut that out.
Really? Everything I say is gold.
Only if
you do it to me.
Only if I really think it's not worth including.
I've never even considered this fact. Until, in fact, I hadn't considered about the rest of the podcast until you mentioned it. I just thought about the intro. Oh, God.
How have you been, Mr. Lavender?
So, I don't know how you can make these judgment calls, Bruce. you've heard of one man's trash is another man's treasure.
Well, you know how you judge my photos in a 2-nanosecond window and...
Yes. What are you implying?
It's called karma.
What are you inseminating? You're a terrible man, Bruce.
What have you been up to in the last couple of weeks?
I've been editing a lot of photos.
I've been
flaming the internet.
I'm surprised the Facebook servers are able to keep up with the graphic onslaught of the lavender.
I've been posting a fair few photos, and I don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking at photos I'd never looked at before and just editing them and posting them, which I think is what you're supposed to do. But when you take as many photos as I do, that can lead to having to post a lot of photos. Yeah. And there's no point in me editing them if I'm not going to share them.
Yeah.
And that's why they've sat in hard drives for as long as they have, because I never got around to editing. So I don't know. But I've been kind of having fun. You know what it is? My 2024 tour is basically sold out. There's one spot left, but that's always hard, tricky to fill because people don't want to pay the single supplement, you know, which is $2,600, the single supplement. It's pretty high because the hotels we stay at are bloody good. Yeah, so
unfortunately
that
costs. Meaning that if you book two, it's less than double that price.
Say what now?
So if someone booked two, it wouldn't cost them $5,200. It would be
It does. It costs us $5,200 for the hotels.
Right, so what's the difference between a person buying a single ticket?
Well, they buy a single ticket. And then they're going to pay the other person who's not coming with them. If they have to share it by themselves, they're going to pay for that empty room because it's dual occupancy.
Right.
So yeah, because quality accommodation is so expensive that we've got to it's costing costs over. I mean, that's if you think the tour is $9,000, including flights and guides and transport and all food and all entries and all everything else, and 5,000 plus of that cost alone is accommodation.
Yeah,
by far the biggest portion of the entire trip. It's basically sold out. So I've decided. So I've started planning next year's tour.
Nice.
And by doing that, I've been trying thinking. I'm thinking of places and things to do and stuff, and what I'd like to do differently. Because I always like to do not completely different stuff, but enough different stuff on each tour that it's not just doing the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Which is easy to do, but I want variety for myself, if not even for other people.
Sure.
So I'm planning my 2025 tour and looking through the photos to think of ideas, you know, and that's probably why I've been editing them. And I'll tell you what, now, hopefully no one from the 2024 tour is listening to this. Because I'm telling you, Bruce, the 2025 is going to be a bloody cracker.
Right.
I've come up with some stuff, Bruce. I've come up with some stuff that is, I found some stuff that is so good.
Yeah.
That I can't not try and include it in this next tour. So I'm actually cutting some of the stuff out that we were going to do on this upcoming tour so I can include some of these other activities.
So which corner of this circular planet is this 2025 tour going to?
Also to India. Also
oh, okay.
To India.
Right.
Yeah, so this year's India tour and next year's India tour.
Right.
But there's so many things that I've come across that I think, oh, yeah, that'd be just damn cool to see and shoot.
Right.
That and some of them are so good that I've said this, I've included them in this year's tour. But as I say in my brochure to everyone, detailed itinerary is the heading, and then in brackets, sort of. Yeah, and it's first a word about our itinerary. Let's call it a plan, in inverted commas, instead. We plan to do all these things. It's great to have a basic map of the places we'll visit, but India's a dynamic place. Things happen, some good, such as an unexpected wedding or celebration we want to join in and shoot, and some bad, which more than not means traffic. Lots of bad traffic. So it's never the itinerary is never set in stone. If something better happens, if some opportunity comes up.
Look, any kind of travel can be like that, even not running a photo tour.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it's the stuff that goes wrong where the stories are anyway.
Yep.
But like today, I found. In Pushkar, I had like a spare morning for next year's tour in Pushkar because of timing for stuff and trying to find something to do. And then I came across this thing called the Rose Trail.
Okay.
And you can go into this early in the morning. You go into these farmers' fields where they grow roses and watch the girls picking the rain and photograph the girls picking roses. It's monstrous. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of roses. This massive big satch. Sacks full of roses,
right.
And then they drag them back to the farmhouse where they all get hosed, washed down, and they're put on the back of these motorbikes and then driven down into town, and then distributed into the flower markets to all the vendors, because the people in Pushkar, this particular temple, they give roses as their offering to the god,
right?
And so this whole trail of and you follow them the roses down into the sorting factory where they sort out stuff. Some go to things like for oils and stuff. That some go to the market, and you follow the whole process all the way through. It takes about 5 hours to do the whole thing.
Wow.
And I thought, what a great morning that'd be.
Yeah.
You know, following all these people so that's going to be on next year's and this year's tour more than likely now, because it just seems like such a cool thing to photograph. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, being out that early in the morning, sun's rising over all the colour of all the roses and the girls in saris picking flowers. It's just photographic. Dream, because you get all the long rows of lines of flowers and stuff, and it got wet my appetite.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, but so I've come across all this new stuff, and I found all these in Varanasi. I found all these artisans that I didn't know existed.
Okay,
these guys who carve wooden toys using lathes and cutting, and the skill of these guys is just remarkable. You know, but the surroundings they're in is incredible as well. You know, the painted rustic walls and the light and you imagine like a whole bunch of little hobby horses all just carved with bare wood, and then the guy making them, sawdust flying everywhere. Imagine those kind of shots and the leading lines of the horses. So this has just got me damn excited. So we're going to see, instead of going off for this tour coming up, instead of going to the place that Buddha did his first ever speech, which is this huge stupa that's broken down. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah.
But it's not the world's best thing. It just kind of covers up an afternoon. But instead, we're going to go spend an afternoon wandering the alleyways of all these artisans who make all this cool stuff,
nice.
Which I think photographically is going to be a hell of a lot more interesting. So if anyone's wanted to keep information about India next year, give me a holler. I think it's the last week of November. Last week of October and the first week of November.
Yeah.
And the good thing about this next year's tour is it culminates, it also finishes.
Yeah.
It comes to the end at Diwali
Does it terminate?
It terminates, yeah. It finishes. It comes to a conclusion, Bruce.
Things are resolved
at the Ganges. It resolves. at the Ganges as the full moon rises for Diwali, and they light up all the steps with all the oil lamps, and all the worshippers come down lighting these millions of oil lamps.
Wow.
Which should be, once again, a pretty darn cool photographic excursion. So next year's tour is looking pretty darn good. And the problem with the timing with these things, like this year you couldn't do it because the gap between when the Pushkar Mela, which is what we're doing next year as well, the camel trading fair, the gap between that and Diwali is too big this year.
Right.
That you couldn't be there for both. There's no way. But next year, because it's all about moon cycles and stuff, they're close enough together to do both.
Nice.
So if you're already booked for 2024, no, you can't change.
Do you offer a discount for people who want to come next year who've already booked for this year?
No. Oh, if they want to come again.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No. Oh, I might give you $10 off.
What you should do is knock a couple of $100 off their tickets, and then whatever other tickets need to be sold, you just add the $200
to that. Well, I've got a couple coming on this tour that came on my last tour.
Yeah, right.
They didn't ask for discount. Yeah, right. Stuffing, yeah. And they're lovely. Actually, I've got to say, there's sometimes you have conversations with people who want to come on tour.
Yeah.
And you're begging them not inside. Please don't book. Please don't book. Please don't book. Yeah, please. And then you have conversations with people. It's like, oh, you'd be awesome. You're the perfect fit. And everyone in this tour is that. It just seems like a bloody marvelous fit. You know?
Nice.
So I think it's going to be hell. I'm pretty stoked. So that's another reason I've been going through the photos. I've been getting my creative juices going. Oh, I've also started putting together images and stuff for this year's Bright Festival of Photography, which is in October.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a new talk.
Right.
There. And, you know, the hard thing is people want you to keep doing talks for them, but you've got to come up with shit, Bruce. Yeah, you can't just keep trotting out the same talk you've been doing for years. Because, well, I've heard that, Glenn. What else you got to say?
Yeah.
And you might find this hard to breathe, listeners, and possibly even Bruce. I don't have a lot to say. I mean, I talk a lot, but I don't have a lot to say. And I think that actually the listeners probably would agree with that. So in the spirit of not saying very much, my title for this upcoming talk is Dog Car Window.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's a photographic talk that nobody else has done. So I think you've got...
I think my photos are and I don't know why I bother. It's also a talk I don't think anyone's done. I'm doing that again next week, actually, again in Traralgon in Victoria on Tuesday night. If anyone listens and lives down that part of the world, come and ever listen to me talking about how my photos are.
So dog car window?
Dog car window. How to improve your travel portraits.
Right.
Right. So one thing they want at this Bright Festival, they want it all to be fun. They want everyone to take themselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. And so they want your talks to be at least have some semblance of interest. Now I listened to a whole bunch of talkers there last year, and I don't think they succeeded. Yeah, and the whole reason I call my talk "My Photos Are Shit, I Don't Know Why I Bother" is because of the whole point of wanting fun. So I figure this year dog. Car window, three separate words. Yeah. Don't get confused, Britta. It's not a dog car window.
No,
it's not like there's little doors in your house. Dog doors. It's not that. It's not a dog car window. It's dog. So if I say to you, Bruce, let's see if this works. If I say the words dog car window to you, what do you think? What do you see in your head thinking about those three words?
A dog sitting in the window of a car.
Doing what?
Looking out. While you're taking a photo
still?
Of the dog.
Is the car still or moving?
Oh, moving.
And what expression's the dog got?
Oh, big sloppy grin with his tongue hanging out and his paws are on the steering wheel.
So you can visualise it all, can't you?
Yeah.
So you can build an entire picture, an entire synopsis, an entire story with three words.
Yes.
So if you're confronted by a scene... when you're travelling and you want to be able to, well, how do I say that in a photo? Well, what words do you see? Dog, car, window tells you how to shoot it.
Right.
breaking that, all that joy, is what's the most important elements? How do I incorporate those elements? How do I show those elements? So if you look at, you know, temple, flowers, old man, mm-hmm. you've broken down the elements that are the most important in that scene, and it's now your job to try and incorporate those three elements in a shot that has the most power and impact.
Yep.
But it's taken away the distraction of all the other stuff that's going on, because there's always a million other things going on.
Yep.
But the three things that stood out the most to you are, how do you incorporate those elements together?
Yep.
Hence, dog, car, window.
Nice.
Because everyone can envision, and then I'm going to go through a whole series of photos, and I'll point the words, and then tell the story.
Yep.
I think that people say, "Well, why did you shoot it like that?" Well, dog, car, window.
Yeah, nice.
So, and it was actually from an advert. I saw an advert where they just said dog, car, window, and I've got, that's it. Because before that, the talk was going to be the best talk being talked right now. So, but I prefer dog, car, window. So, yeah, a whole talk based on, and I think you look at anyone's photos, the same thing. It's like, what do you like about it? What are your three words? Or four words? Does that have to be three? But yeah. The simpler the better.
Yeah.
So keep it simple, stupid. I don't think overly complex photos helps anybody understand what's going on.
No.
Yeah. And as I always say in all my talks, if you give a Dr. Seuss book to someone, most people have a bit of a go at it. You give War and Peace to everyone, they'll just put it in a corner.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll use it to hold other stuff down.
Yeah.
So the fewer words you can use, the more impact, the fewer words you can use in your photo, the more it connects, hopefully, with people.
Yeah.
So that's my theory. This is my theory number one. I have another theory about the dinosaurs.
Okay.
They're thin at one end, much, much thicker in the middle, and thin again at the other end.
Right. Okay.
It's accurate too, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, it depends on which dinosaur, but yeah.
If you're going to be fussy, if that's what you're going to do.
But how does that relate to photography?
Oh, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
I just said I had another theory. I didn't say I had a theory about what.
Right.
Now, it's my eldest kid's, but I have to say he's a bit quiet because he might hear. It's my eldest kid's birthday coming up in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And he's got into this musician, a little Melbourne musician. He's only small, but it's called Gordon's Grandson. It's the name of the muso.
Right.
Yeah, which is a funny little name. And he's been going on. He loves everything the guy puts out. Whenever he puts his own TikTok videos out, he uses this guy's soundtrack music. And he's just doing all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
Mind you, my kid's got 20,000+ TikTok followers, and he's got like four. So he's doing his kid a favour. But anyway, so I thought, I'll reach out to this kid and ask for an autographed photo.
Yep.
Maybe a kind of cool little thing, a little personalised autographed photo.
Totally.
And he's written back and goes, oh, man, no one's ever asked for an autographed photo before. And I've never, ever used the postal service. So this will be so cool. I'll get to do two new things. And the fact that he said postal service.
Yes.
Not just the post. But it's like he's made this kid's week because he's got to use the postal service.
But you, first ever you time could, in his life. You could take this one step further. You could offer to shoot the portrait of the kid.
I said, as a quid pro quo, if you need some shots done at some point, give me a holler and I'll shoot. I'll do a shoot for you as a thank you.
Yeah.
And he said he'll take me up on that. But I thought it's just got kind of funny that he's never had anyone ask for an autograph photo, and he's never ever used the. He's like 20-odd years old. He's never used the postal service. He's never mailed a letter. But that's the world, though, isn't it, Bruce?
Absolutely.
Ever mailed a letter,
Absolutely.
Blow me away. So
while we are talking about music...
Oh, are we?
...and Victorian-based musicians...
Yes. Who are you talking about?
I discovered a band through my mate Dave, who, you know, obviously is a musician.
The Teskey Brothers?
No, he put me onto this band about 2 months ago. He said, check out an album called At the Roadhouse by a band called The Paper Kites.
Paper Kites.
And so I went and had a listen to this album, and it absolutely blew me away. And it turns out that there's a whole story behind the making of this album. They went to Campbell's Creek in rural Victoria.
Near Camberwell. Not near Camberwell, no.
Oh, okay. I thought they said it was near Camberwell, but okay.
Campbell's Creek's down the Great Ocean Road, down towards the... Okay.
Sure.
Towards the 12 sisters, the 12 apostles, the 12 anyway. Brothers, whatever they call those six things that are still left.
Yeah. So basically they played this residency at this roadhouse in Campbell's Creek for a month, and like the first weekend that they played there was like half a dozen people there watching them, and by the end of the month it was like standing room only kind of thing.
Yeah, and in a pub that holds six.
Yeah. But anyway, brilliant album, sort of indie folk, laid back blues, touch of Americana kind of vibe to it. Really good stuff. Anyway, they played at the Enmore Theatre up here in Sydney last weekend.
And oh, did they?
Dave and I went and saw them live, and it was just the most amazing gig I've seen in ages. Beautiful mix. The guy doing the sound mix had it so going on. But just this week, what's today?
Wednesday.
So Tuesday morning, they just released on their YouTube channel The Paper Kites at the Roadhouse, the full movie. It goes for an hour and 44 minutes, and it has...
Did you share this on Facebook or something?
I didn't share it on Facebook.
This is like deja vu all over again. Really? I know this for some reason.
Yeah, right. No, not me.
Did Carl Hemmings send it through?
Not that I'm aware of.
Someone did. I know it's come from somewhere.
Yeah, right. But anyway, if that description, you know, old indie folk blues, laid back, smooth vibes kind of thing sounds appealing to you, definitely check out the album At the Roadhouse by the Paper Kites.
Like Teskey Brothers.
They've got a really good following in America, but they're sort of a bit of an unknown quantity here, even though Melbourne's their hometown. So, yeah.
What are they called again?
The Paper Kites?
That's right. Stupid name.
It is, but who cares?
Well, that's probably why they don't get popular.
I don't think that's what's stopping them.
Well, they're just not very good.
No, I think they're brilliant. Anyway, I just
the Teskey Brothers?
I've heard them. I haven't heard their
music. You should
listen
to them. If you like that kind of music it's talking about,
okay,
and obviously you have a penchant for Victorian bands.
Are the Teskey Brothers Victorian?
Yeah, from Warrandyte, just around the corner from my place. Well, not my place, where I used to live. Right. Campbell's Creek is actually, it's in the Golden Triangle near Castlemaine. I was thinking of Campbell River. There's too many Campbell's, which is a slightly bigger version of Campbell's Creek.
Right.
Because there's more water.
Right.
That's why they call it a river, not a creek.
Right.
I think there might be a tidal estuary where the other one is it's probably spring-sourced in the mountains. And by mountains, we call hills. I would imagine being Campbell's Creek, though, there was a gold fear in Little Creek at some point because...
quite possible.
Everything there, the region's got gold in it.
Yep.
So.
But what I also wanted to mention was the fact that I've been
There's a reason for talking about them.
I've been watching the full movie that was released yesterday. I'm about an hour and 10 minutes into the hour and three-quarter duration. And it's beautifully shot.
Really?
Great use of colour, great use of composition. They've got all these live performances from inside the bar, which incidentally is shot with about, feels like about seven or eight different cameras. But in between, they have all these little interstitial movies that they've shot around the area during the month that they were there.
So it's a bit like Led Zeppelin's, what was their live movie?
Don't know. Haven't seen it.
Because they go off on, what do you call that?
Interstitial?
That's the one. They go off on a bunch of pretty darn bizarre interstitial videos.
And some of them are just really cool. And just, great use of,
They've got nearly 300,000 subscribers.
I know.
They're doing okay.
They are doing okay.
Just important thing to look at here. So Teskey Brothers, 325,000. Yeah, kicking the nigh on 10% more.
Right. Anyway,
nigh on. No, bizarre. I've heard of Paper Kites recently from somewhere. So
how bizarre.
That is kind of odd, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've posted anything to social media about them.
Weird.
But yeah,
weird. I did come across, if we're talking about bands, this is an English one I've been listening to just lately. It would have some interesting stuff. I'm just trying to remember what they're called. The Gulls. Have a listen to Circle live on Glastonbury tour.
Okay.
And the lead singer's got a hell of a good voice, and they've got a kind of good vibe as well. And these guys, woof. Talk about your following, though, Bruce.
Yeah.
They've got, and let's just click on them, and the girls, they've got 1,650. Yeah, not your big band. Not your big band, but still, worth listening to.
Okay. I reckon. Give them a listen.
Well, cool. Thanks for listening to our music podcast, everyone. And
we got any photography to talk about?
Well, there's been two new cameras released this week, which are both kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's the Nikon Nikon. They released two. The Z6
III. Z6 Mark III, yeah.
Yeah, it gets confusing when you got a number in your make and then you got numbers in...
A number in the model and then a version number as well.
That's what I said, Bruce.
I think it was what you meant.
Word for word. Yeah. The thing that astounded me is it can do 20 frames a second with its e-shutter up to 1,000 RAW files at 20 frames a second.
Oh, yikes.
that's a lot of
crazy.
I haven't even calculated how many seconds that actually, if you did all 1,000.
That'd be 50.
50 seconds, is it really?
Yeah, at 20 frames. You sure? Yeah.
So let's count this out. So 5.
You said 1,000 frames.
Would
be
100. Yes. And what's 10 times 5, Bruce?
10 times 5 is 50.
No, I reckon it's going to go for 50 seconds, Bruce. So you've taken 1,000 photos in the time it's taken the bride to go, I do, and the groom to go, me too, kiss them. Pretty much, isn't that? That's about 50 seconds.
Yep.
Do you? Yes, do you? Yes, you're right, you are. That's actually the wedding vows I wanted to have. Do you? Yes, do you? Yes, right, you are.
Yeah.
Bang, done. Some people waffle on with theirs, Bruce. Just goes on and on and on.
You wouldn't believe that, would you?
But it can only do up to 60 frames. It can do up to 60 frames a second in full resolution JPEG.
Yeah, wow.
60 frames. That's almost video speed.
That's almost slow-mo video speed.
I know, right? Oh, man, that's really, really quite astounding, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Wow. And so you've got this, which is just wow.
Yep.
And at the same time, Pentax released a film camera for the first time in 20 years.
20
years? It's not
just
a film camera. It's a half-frame film camera.
Hang on. So what's half-frame?
Well, half frames means you can take twice as many rolls of photos on a roll of 36 than you could with just a normal 36. So it's literally half a frame. So so one frame of 36, you actually can take two photos on it. There you go.
So are they portrait orientation?
Well, no, it depends which way you hold the camera, Bruce.
Well, I'm trying to understand how you get...
Just imagine if it's just half of the 36. It's just half the size, Bruce. It just captures half the frame. In one shot, then you wind on, and it does the next bit.
But your standard frame is either 3:2 or 4:3 aspect ratio.
There's no aspect ratio in 35mm film, Bruce.
Of course there is.
Well, but it's not either or, it's one. Okay. 18 by 36 or whatever it is.
Okay.
Which is 2:1, isn't it? 18, 36, 2, 1, something like whatever.
Yep.
But either, so it does two frames on one frame of 35mm film.
Right. Okay.
So you can take 72 shots on your roll of 36 film. Now, I remember people bringing in rolls of film to get developed, and they have 3 Christmases on them.
Yeah.
And that was a standard, like a 24 or 3. How much 72 could it take to get done? I'm thinking the people who are using it are going to go and spend the money on this thing. They're probably going to, use it more.
Yeah.
So it does the frame does a horizontal width of 17 by 25 frames is its capture. So what's that? I wouldn't even know what ratio that is. And it's called 17 because it's close to half 35. This should be called 17.5.
So it is. It's shooting a portrait orientation side by side.
Yeah, but realistically, that's just the way the frame is. The photo doesn't have to be portrait, or it could also be landscape.
The way it'll come out on the neck.
I know. Yeah, but that's irrelevant. But who cares about that? What does that mean?
Well, I was asking the question, is that how it worked?
But why does your brain think that's important?
Complicate the answer, Mr. Lavender?
That's all right. You'll probably just cut all this out anyway. So the way my brain works is, why in the hell is that important? But the way your brain, who wants to know stuff, because I don't want to know anything.
Simply about efficiency in terms of use of the film stock, right? Because if you shoot these half-frame things and they're still in a landscape orientation...
Stop, you're killing me. Stop, you're killing me.
Then there's all this wasted film at the top and the bottom of the roll that's not being used.
You're killing me.
It's not efficient.
Yeah, were you German in a previous life? What the hell? Oh, God. So this joyful little piece, which is a fixed lens camera, by the way.
Right.
25mm fixed lens, which works out as a 37mm equivalent, which is such a useful focal range. And it's only $500.
Wow.
It's just a lot of money, Bruce. Okay. Even if you say it fast. Well, for a film kit, I don't know.
It's a lot cheaper than a digital body.
Well, I suppose it doesn't have anything inside it.
In the current market, you know, where digital bodies are anything from 1500 up.
Oh, I'm sure there's cheaper ones. I've never looked, but I'm sure it's got cheaper.
They're going to be crap.
Yeah, you think this is going to be good?
Well, for those who like shooting film...
Go buy an old second-hand camera for $50.
Yeah, true.
Go down to Porn Brothers. But, you know, go and buy an Olympus Pen half-frame camera, which were just remarkable pieces of kit.
Right.
Yeah. Go and buy one of the best film cameras ever made, the Olympus XA.
Okay.
Yeah, pick it up for $200, Australian, which is like $1.50 US or something at the moment, with currency the way it's going. And you'll be chatting. But that's kind of cool. There's two new cameras this week. It was a nice thing. The old folks from Tamron, they released a new lens, but I got so disinterested I didn't bother looking at it. It's a 50-300 or something.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't really float my boat.
So if... What, 3.5 to 5.6?
No, that's what I thought. I thought, well, that might be over. I think it's like 4.5 to 6.3 or something.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. 4.5 to... Yeah, exactly. It's not exactly setting the world on fire, is it? Where Sigma's releasing the 28 to 45 1.8.
Why?
Well, because they can. It probably only weighs about 8 house bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the most uninteresting focal range you could find.
And for our American listener, a house brick is the solid, heavy,
it's one 300th of a football field.
We use to build our houses with, rather than like the vinyl that you hammer onto the outside of wood in your houses. Imagine the three piggies. You have to have four pigs now. No, yeah, four pigs, and one builds a house with cladding. That's not going to last when the foxy comes along and blows, is it? Yeah, give me bricks. 28 to 45. Look, it's okay. I don't mind it because it's close to a nifty 50.
Yeah.
And 28 is kind of a nice focal length. And 1.8 fixed all the way through the range is kind of,
the 1.8 is interesting.
Yeah, so if you're carrying a 50mm and a 28mm, you can now do it pretty much in one lens and give you that little bit of flexibility. It's not bad, you know? At least it's trying something new and interesting, but it looks big.
Right.
It looks big and it looks heavy, so that's not something necessarily anyone wants to be having to deal with. But anyway.
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labour of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
Oh, and here's the last thing I wanted to talk about, and I haven't actually looked at it, but the question of the week on D-Preview, DP Review, I think that's how it's actually pronounced, is what's your advice to your younger self? And it can't be don't do it. Well, I've just had a quick look here. From Shaminda Dulai, who I've never heard of. But you know what? He probably hasn't heard of me either. Yeah. His first one was start organising your photos and videos into proper archives and making them searchable. Well, that's it's a pretty decent bit of startup advice, isn't it? You know? Yeah. As soon as digital started, find a way to catalogue it.
Absolutely.
Dale Baskin, haven't heard of him, but just like our mate, what was his name? Shaminda, probably hasn't heard of me either. I'd probably give the same advice I'd give to a 20-year-old today. Don't obsess about having fancy gear and the newest camera. There you go.
Nice.
Richard Butler, don't know him, doesn't know me, but I was married to a butler once. Not a butler like, sir, would you like your coffee in the lounge? No, not surname Butler. I'd tell myself to think more carefully about... Sorry?
Did she do it?
What? Coffee?
The butler did it.
No, she didn't do it. That's why we're not married. No, that's all wrong. No, that's not true at all. Oh, my poor Bruce. You set him up, I'll knock him down. That's what she used to say to him. No. I tell myself to think more carefully about lenses, try and work out which of the focal lens I actually use, and buy only those. Yeah, that's an interesting point. Because I think you do something. You know which lenses you've shot most with and stuff, haven't you? That's I would look at the ones I shoot with the least and look at those photos. And what is it about those photos that's different? Is there something there? Is there a style or a look or a feel or the way I'm storytelling with that lens that I don't use very often, which is good or bad? Maybe there's a thing there that every now and then I use that lens and I always love the shots I get out, but I just don't think to use it very often. You know what I mean? Like I love shooting with a 90mm macro lens as a portrait lens because it's just sharp as a nun's tongue and just gorgeous fall off. But I don't hardly ever use it. Because I have the convenience of the 70-200, you know. But there's the stuff. It'd be interesting to look at the lenses you don't use very much and just actually look at those photos and see if those photos have a vibe or a feel or and that could be a place to explore to improve your photography because, you're not putting on granny slippers, you know, the old slip on the old comfortable slippers and just do the same thing over and over again. And also, comments, here we go, 259. Earned a lot and wait for the A7IV. There we go. That's a good bit of advice. Good bit of advice to your younger self. Stick to Agfa Click 2 camera with 120 film and contact printing. Your photography reached its potential 40 years ago. That's pretty sad. Si vous avez la chance de voir un bon contact humain, photographes les humains. I think he's saying photograph more people, and it says, difference des montagnes de Amsel Adams, qui sont toujours à la même place. I think he says, don't shoot photos like Ansel Adams, go shoot people. I don't know what he's saying at all.
Right.
Get better with the camera you currently have, not keep moving on to the latest and greatest. Well, that's always good advice, isn't it? Stop buying new cameras, there we go. Become a plumber. Start serious photography now, in all caps. And if you can imagine like an Arnold Schwarzenegger voice saying that, now. Get a used D700 with a 50mm 1.8 and add an 85mm and the Holy Trinity of and get. Oh, no, don't do it. Just stick with what you started with. That's pretty good. Buy a bike instead. God, there could be much fun going through this. My advice to my younger self? Don't grow old. Yeah, good luck with that one. look at more rumours and news sites. I bought a Sony A6500 and 2 days later the A7 III was announced. That's not bad. Before you invest your hard-earned, have a good look what's happening. Don't sell your D60. here's a great one. This is straight away the best. Get a good business education and don't focus too much of your attention on technical stuff. Learn how to run your business, not just be a better photographer. That's advice I give all the time to new up and comers.
Yeah.
Invent the digital camera. That's pretty good. God, yeah. But that's on Deep Preview. I'm even going to put a link in there. What would you say to your younger self, Bruce?
Wow. Buy Bitcoin.
Well, something photographic related, Bruce.
Okay.
Because you can still buy Bitcoin right now, Bruce, so that's okay. You can go ahead and... It's only 100,000 Australian dollars.
I don't know.
Was there a time you were truly happy in your photography?
When I'm out shooting.
So your advice to yourself would be shoot more.
Maybe that would be my advice, is don't get jaded. Just keep shooting.
Shoot more. Yeah.
Yeah, shoot more. Because I enjoy the process of shooting.
But me too. That's the only reason I do it. The actual end result is secondary. Yeah. And this is what I do. I say in my talks all the time. I don't care if I lost every single one of my photos, except for the ones of the kids. It's true. I don't care. I have no emotional attachment to any of my photos. I wouldn't give a rat's if all my hard drives died tomorrow. Except the photos of my kids. They're the only ones, or my family. Yeah, that's the only thing that matters to me. But every of my photos I've taken, who cares? You know? And I was doing a talk a couple of weeks ago, and a good long-term customer came up to me and said, Glenn, I've got hard drives full of my photos that when I die, they're just going to go in the bin because no one cares.
Yeah.
And that's, so if you rely on the photos being something, it's a pretty bleak place to be, isn't it? Yeah. If the simple act of going out and doing isn't enough, the photos never will be. You know.
I think it's bleak if all of those images just stay on a hard drive and never see the light of day.
Oh, okay then.
Now I put my images on the wallpaper on my computer screens, and I put them on my phone. And I'm looking at my photos, the photos that I'm happy with from previous travels or whatever, all of the time. I'm always looking at my photos in one way, shape or another. But if all you do is leave them on a hard drive and never even look at them, and you never print them, and you never make a photo book, then that's, to me, because as you say, like as that person said, when you die...
Boop. Yeah.
You know, the family that's left is just going to go, oh, this is all shit.
I don't know how to deal with all this stuff and these thousands and tens of thousands. I don't know where to find it. Yeah, exactly.
I remember having this conversation with Dave when my mum died, and I had to go through mum's house and get rid of all this stuff. And I was saying to Dave, I said, God, it's just crazy. You know, you and I, we collect music in the form of MP3s, and we obsess over the ID3 metadata and the album art's embedded and all this kind of crap. I said, but when we die... No one else is going to give two hoots about how much we obsessed over that music collection.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, absolutely, you know.
That's funny, isn't it? So I use my photos sometimes for my own wallpaper as well. I've got one at the moment, a shot I put up a couple of days ago, the Taj Mahal, quite a different viewpoint, and it looks beautiful as a backdrop.
The one from out in the trees?
No, the one that's sort of it, with two open doors looking through an arch, and it's just a little tiny bit of it, and a beautiful golden light. It's funny that of all the photos I take, the only ones I put up as my backdrop are ones without people in it.
Yeah,
and I'm a people photographer, I don't have a need to see some other, which is probably why I don't print many of my photos either. I don't have a need to see somebody else's face, and I guess with my images, because I'm using them all the time for work, they become maybe a different feel to them as well. But because I don't use the landscape or the building stuff as work, it actually stands out more. So,
That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna actually do like a top one or top 200 of my photos in a photo book just for the kids.
Nice.
So they don't have to worry about all the electronic stuff.
Keeping all the
These
rest.
Are the photos that Dad liked. I'm trying to put a little story for each one, sort of thing, and that's a little bit of legacy, at least, you know, for those images. I think it's something we should all probably do, is put them in a manageable medium. Yeah. It doesn't have to be comprehensive. It just can be a selection, And
that's a great idea.
Doesn't have to be much. It could be 50 photos, and a little why, and job done, no one's, like, we don't have any use of thousands of our images.
Yeah.
But if we were to put an exhibition on, what 50 would you use? Or 30 or 20?
Yeah.
You know? tell your story that way, you know?
Yeah.
It's a bit like a photo shoot, really, isn't it? You shoot hundreds of photos and you choose three or four.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same process, really. You're photo shooting your own gallery.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going through and just cherry-picking the ones that still connect to you, the ones that still emotionally mean something to you, the ones that spark happy memories for when you were doing it, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. You know? That's really got me thinking. I might just do that, create a photo book of my favourite images on the morbid assumption that I might drop dead tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We
took the kids to Tasmania in November, and it was my intention always I was trying to photograph, even just with the phone, tons of photos that trip and make a photo book for them both for Christmas.
Yep.
And I did that, and the books are fabulous. They've never looked at them, but they're there. And one day, but at the same time, I took the whole family to New York and Los Angeles.
Yep.
Never done anything with those photos, so I put a whole bunch of those into a book for my wife for Christmas.
Nice.
As a surprise. And it's like, all of a sudden, she's never looked at it either. She hasn't opened a birthday present yet either, yeah. But it's awesome, awesome bloody Lego, yeah, awesome thing, yeah. Really rare, yeah, really hard to find. Still in the box. Chinese dragon for the Year of the Dragon. Hasn't even taken it out, Bruce.
When's the birthday?
That was May.
Oh, okay.
No, maybe I gave it to for Christmas. It must have been Christmas because it's been there for months. Months, no. Bruce, months. I don't know why I'm whispering. She's probably already asleep in bed with the cold. But, that's what I thought. When I saw that thing, what advice would you give to your younger self? That connected a bit with me.
Yeah.
Not as a conversation starter for tonight for us. And if it gets you to go, hey, these photos, I'm going to do a little something, then the whole night's been worth it, Bruce.
Yeah. Well, look, even if I'm just kind of thinking this out in my head, produce a book. And then maybe you give it 3 years or 5 years, and then you reassess.
Yeah.
And go, are these still the images that would represent, my best 100 images? Or
my body of work, absolutely.
And then you might go, well, out of these 100, these 3 or 4 or 5 are the weakest, and so I'll replace those with something that I've shot in the last 3 to 5 years and update the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a great idea.
Yeah. I know a lady, she, every year growing up, she's a great photographer, but she'd photograph her kids.
Yeah.
And then she would give them all a book of their photos every year. I mean, great, great commitment and effort and well beyond anything we're capable of. But she'd give every Christmas, they get a book of their year.
Yeah, right.
And she did this for like 10 years or 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing effort. Yeah. And so they've got a full book chronicling their entire years growing up.
Wow.
For every single year. Remarkable.
That's awesome.
And another great photographer I know called Kristen Cook, phenomenal baby photographer. She did a January project. Yeah, she's awesome. Did a January project where she'd photograph her kids one photo a day for the whole month of January.
Okay.
And try to be creative. And it's like these 365 projects, but she did it specifically off just photographing her kids.
Yeah.
And so she's got this chronicle, again, of 15-odd years of what they're like for 1 month of the year.
Yeah, right.
Every year growing up. Yeah. And it's fabulous. And the photos are incredible. You know, I've got the imagination to do one day a month, let alone every day of the month. Yeah. it's when you look back at the work that's done. And, we've seen these videos in the past where someone's taken a photo of their kid in the same spot every day for like 18 years and then morphed it into a movie you watch them grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible dedication to that sort of
totally.
Art. But we can't even be asked putting our top 50 together.
Exactly.
Something we got to do. Anyway, on that happy note.
Tomorrow.
Oh, what's on tomorrow?
You haven't asked me what I've been doing.
I don't care. Isn't this the Glendander podcast?
Yeah, that's it. Tomorrow, myself and one of the journos from the ABC are going out to do another landline shoot.
Really? Taking a photo of a landline? No one uses them anymore, Bruce. Why do they still call it that?
That's right.
It should be mobile. Mobile. Yeah.
So I'm
so what are you doing?
I'm videographer for the day. We're going up to Port Stephens to do... I hope it's okay to talk about this because obviously the episode hasn't been produced yet, and it hasn't aired yet.
Just because it's a general synopsis.
Yeah, so we're going up to Port Stephens to talk to oyster farmers about a virus called QX, which apparently devastated the Sydney rock oyster market about 4 years ago, and this is kind of a follow-up to look into.
So where's Port Stephens? Is that like
that's about an hour north of Newcastle?
Okay, so is that, so were they responsible for Sydney's oysters, or were
a large quantity of the you know, rock oyster, Sydney rock oyster market would have come from those oyster beds. So anyway, so yeah, so I'm going to be up there doing the videography for that with Romy.
Are they oyster farmers? So they've got all the oyster leases and all that kind of stuff. You're going
to... Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I think the mob we're going to talk to is a... I don't know if it's a government department. It's called Port Stephens Fisheries. So, yeah, we're going up there to shoot this story, and I'll be...
You're going out in a boat and filming on boats?
Possibly. Don't know yet. It will all come down to how the day plays out.
But how's your sea legs?
Oh, I've got great sea legs. I don't
even when looking through a viewfinder? Because that can affect a lot of people. That changes the world quite a lot.
I can be on a cruise ship that is absolutely rocking and rolling in heavy surf, and it doesn't bother me. So, yeah, I have great sea legs.
Good stuff. Good to hear. Well, that sounds awesome. I'm looking forward to... And you can do some stills as well? Is it all video? Or?
I don't know. We'll see how we go. And I'm actually thinking of taking my A7 III with me, because unfortunately I have to shoot with the ABC camera, which is a Lumix GH5.
Oh, great cameras, though.
Only because they've got the little gadget that attaches to the hot shoe, which is the audio interface that allows you to plug XLR, which is pro-level microphone connection. Yeah. Into
the GX, those Panasonic cameras are brilliant, though.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, I've only shot with it once, and that was when we did the last landline story. I haven't picked it up since then, so I'm going to let Romy do the driving tomorrow so that I can sit in the car and actually play with the camera and get familiar with it.
Maybe have to turn it on,
because we've got
make sure the battery's charged.
got an hour to drive up there, so...
Can you pull into the shop now and just buy a memory card, all that kind of stuff?
That's right. So, yeah, so that's my day for tomorrow.
Oh, that's going to be awesome, mate.
Yeah.
Get on, I'm so thrilled for you that you get to go and do this creative things with your talent. You
I know? Love
it's,
it.
It's brilliant.
I love
yeah,
it.
I'm
and
stoked
this afternoon,
for you.
This afternoon, we had, like, this is why I keep saying I love my job, right? This afternoon, we had a 14-piece choir come into the studio to sing live in the studio. And so I had to think about how I was going to mic it, what mics was I going to use, how was I going to work the acoustics to the best of my advantage. And it was just great fun because I've never had an opportunity in the past to mic something like that. So I got two boom mic stands, put microphones on top, sat these mic stands up on the desk that the on-air console is mounted into. So I had the microphones about 10 or 15 centimetres from the ceiling, pointed downwards. And you'll love this. Same principles in acoustics as we apply to light. Okay.
Yeah.
Inverse square law.
Yep.
So if you've got the microphones too close to the choir, then you're going to pick up the people in the front row. You're not going to hear the people in the back row. So the idea is to get the mics further
as far away as possible
so that you balance out the entirety of the choir. So this was my idea, was get these mics right up high by the ceiling and as far back as I could get them, and then arrange these 14 singers in two arcs of seven people. And yeah, and it just sounded absolutely magnificent.
Now, how awesome. So, I was delighted for you, right? It's great to see someone happy with their work.
That's great. It's good fun. And it's Dave and I were talking about this on Saturday night when we were seeing the paper kites, and you know, I was talking about how much I love this gig, you know, because as much, you know, the previous 35 years of my career, I basically sat behind a computer and I recorded and edited radio commercials. And I love that. And I still do love that.
Yeah.
But the great thing about this particular job is there's so much variety to what I do. And I'm not sitting behind a computer for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also get to do a great range of things. And I just, I'm having a ball.
Oh, freaking happy for you, dude.
Thank you.
I hope all goes well tomorrow. Hope the weather's pleasant.
Yes, well, the forecast is for zero rain, so loving that.
Hopefully zero wind would be good too, so...
Look, wind's pretty much a given, and you just do the best you can. You know, we use wind socks on all the mics, and you try and angle your talent and your journo in such a degree or such a way that their body blocks the majority of the wind, and you just do what you can.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yep. It's like working with light.
That's it.
Yep. Angles, direction, density,
all that stuff.
Is that funny, eh? Lots of parallels.
So many parallels.
That's cool. That's very cool. Never thought of that before. That's very cool.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
Well, good to chat.
I'm going
to
see. I hear my youngest one coughing. She's supposed to be in bed half an hour ago, so I'm going to tell her off now.
Okay. She's probably in bed and coughing.
Possibly, yeah.
All right, mate. Well, look after yourself.
Take care, everyone.
See you, mate.
Yeah, you too. Take care. Bye. Talk soon. Bye.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.